Okay, back to wrap up KER Politics, KE Politics, I guess I should say. We are back talking with Dr. Lott. Big Al still has a bad throat. I'm very sorry about that, and I hope you can understand me as clearly as my thoughts are coming out of my brain. You started an organization that I would like you to, number one, describe right now, and number two, I'd like you to hit on some of the highlights that you think your organization has accomplished since its inception, sir.
Sure. The Crime Prevention Research Center is basically a group of academics. People can find our website at crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org. And, I started it with academics from Harvard and the Wharton Business School and University of Chicago and University of Michigan, people who have expertise in a wide range of areas dealing with crime. We've done everything from policing to police shootings to gun control to corporate crime to a whole range of areas, vote fraud. There's a large range of, how technology helps solve crime. There's a large range of topics that we've covered with the expertise that we have. I suppose a lot of the work that we've done has been on the issue of gun control. We have people on both sides of the kind of the debate, academic debate, in our organization. And that's hopefully the way to go and make sure you produce top quality research, have people debate and argue about points. But, I'm probably myself best known for my book, More Guns, Less Crime, from the University of Chicago Press, went through three editions. But, people can find a lot of information on kind of the false claims that are being made about guns and gun control on our website, crimeresearch.org. I'll just give you one example of the type of research that we've done. We frequently hear, the claim by gun control people that guns on net are bad. If that's true, you would think that whenever places have banned guns, either all guns or all handguns, you would see drops in murder and homicide rates. And yet, every single time that all guns have been banned, or all handguns have been banned, you see large increases in murder rates. You think out of randomness, once or twice, you would get a situation where murder rates had at least stayed the same or fallen, just out of randomness. But in fact, the opposite's true. And it turns out there's a very simple explanation for that, and that is you have to be very careful when you pass gun control laws that you're not primarily disarming law-abiding good citizens. You may take some guns away from criminals, but, just as criminals can go and get illegal drugs, they end up being able to go and get guns. And if you primarily disarm law-abiding citizens relative to criminals, you actually make it easier for criminals to go out and commit crime.
I find that to be, absolutely very true. I'm a very Second Amendment advocate. There's no question about that. And you know what's funny about that? I don't happen to own a gun, and I don't have a weapon in the house, but there's a very logical reason for that. And the logical reason is purely and simply, I don't have the expertise. And I know one thing that the NRA and the gun dealers who I know stress over and over and over again is don't even think about buying this weapon unless you have the expertise to actually use it. I have a close friend, just kind of a bit of an aside. He's a retired professor at the at Washington University in the medical school. He has contributed on a worldwide scale, is well known internationally for the work that he has done in medicine in terms of imaging. And the only reason I bring this up is because anybody who's gotten to his particular status of life has an IQ certainly somewhat above 62. But I have to say, he went out and bought a handgun went down to the local range that is very, very pro-education, and he spent probably 6 or 7 months educating himself. And I've got to tell you, I have no concerns about how this fellow will ever, he'll never misuse this, because he's taken a lot of care. The people who misuse guns, in my opinion, sir, are those who acquire them illegally.
Right. Well, I mean, what you find, for example, you look at people with concealed handgun permits.
Right.
There are about 20 million Americans that have concealed handgun permits. And they're incredibly law-abiding with few problems. So I'll give you an example. Police are convicted of misdemeanors or felonies at about 1/20th the rate of the general population.
Mm-hmm.
Concealed handgun permit holders are convicted at a rate of 1/10th the rate of police officers.
Yeah.
So they're 1/200th the rate of the general population. And if you look at firearms-related violations, you see a similar type of, extreme law-abidingness by permit holders. When you're talking about law-abiding citizens, they have a lot to lose if they go and use a gun improperly. It's, easy to become a felon. And that's would radically alter people's lives, and they tend to be very careful as a result of that.
Well, I know one thing in my neck of the woods, which happens to be the Great Northwest. If you discharge a firearm and hit somebody or whatever, you are guaranteed, absolutely 100% guaranteed, of a significant and major lawsuit against your action. So you better know what you're doing. I have a close friend who is the sheriff of our county, and Dave Elfo. And Dave and I have discussed the issue of gun control ad nauseum, and he has backed up everything, John, that you are saying right now. Absolutely everything.
Well,
so, I guess the only question I have, you may want to sidestep this question, but when society gets to the point, in my opinion, where they want to defund the police officers because of a very small minority of bad apples, that scares the daylights out of me, sir.
Well, I understand that. On our website, one of the things we track is just some of the media bias,
right,
in television shows. Television show after television show shows white supremacists using what are machine guns to go and do mass public shootings.
Right.
And, it's really amazing. You know, the FBI shows on CBS, the SWAT show on TV, Magnum PI. And, we've had like two murders in the United States since the 1930s involving machine guns.
Yeah.
And, they talk about these as being AR-15, so they're misinforming people about that. Plus, the neo-Nazi or white supremacy angle, I mean, it fits in very closely with what Bloomberg's Everytown has been putting out. But if we have gone through and looked at the political beliefs and affiliations of mass public shooters, and what you find is that there's only a few percent who believe in neo-Nazi or white supremacy type stuff. It's basically the same percentage that do these attacks because of, environmental beliefs.
Right.
And the overwhelming, 90% of these mass public shooters, they have no political beliefs, really, no political affiliations. They are just suicidal individuals who believe that they can go and get media attention by killing people. Someplace along the line, 30 years ago or whatever, people realized that if they're going to commit suicide, maybe they can do it in a way that will let people know that they were here and that they will get a lot of media attention. The more people they kill, the more media attention they get.
I want to just wrap this up by saying one thing. There are too many misconceptions, sir, about gun control, too many misconceptions about guns. I appreciate your insight. I'm going to post all the information that I can on your organization. Thank you, John.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.